CCTA wake-up call for July 22nd and July 23rd. CCTA wake-up call July 22, July 23.
Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA wake-up call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and today we are talking about the New Bern mayoral race, and we have one of the candidates with us today. Our panel today is Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello.
Hello.
Diane Ruffino.
Hello.
Melissa Potter.
Hey, guys.
And we are glad you're joining us, and like I said, we're talking about the New Bern mayoral race, and we have candidate Jeffrey Odom with us here today. Jeffrey, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Make sure I got this correct, so I'm going to pull it up and read it here. The other candidate for the race is Toussaint Summers. He was recently police chief in New Bern, and he's also running for mayor. He was invited, and the response we got was, apologies for the delay in response, candidate Summers wants to thank you for your invitation. However, the voting process is in full swing, and he is currently unable to honor your request with all his current obligations. So, we also had invited him earlier to a debate at one of our public meetings. They declined that also, and I understand a number of other organizations and radio shows or whatever have invited him, and he's declined all those opportunities to come before the public and discuss his candidacy. So anyway, that being said, I'll remind you that CCTA is a 501c3 nonprofit, nonpartisan organization. So anything you hear today is not an endorsement of the candidate. We're simply here to try to vet the candidate and give him an opportunity to tell you how he will serve you if he's elected. So with that being said, Jeffrey, how long have you been a resident of New Bern?
Well, I will be 43 years old next month, so almost 43 years.
Wow.
Born and raised right here.
Good. That's a native then.
I am.
All right. And tell us a little bit about your job experience.
Yeah, so I started right out of high school here at New Bern High School. As a senior, we actually went from a quarter to a semester system whenever I was a senior. So right in the middle of my senior year, when we made that transition, I only needed one class to graduate. So I went and asked, how could I do that? We had something that was called night school, and it was actually designed for people who needed to make up classes. I went and asked, could I skip school during the day and just take the one class at night so I could start working? And the school granted me that ability. So I started working at Glidden Paint Company over on Noose Boulevard at 17 years old during the day. Went to night school at night. And I've been there ever since. Actually celebrated my 25th anniversary with them in May. We've had a couple different ownerships, but it's the same company I've been working for 25 years.
Wow. Good job record. All right. Now tell us a little bit about your family.
So, again, another monumental occurrence this year in 2022. My wife and I, Jeannie, we celebrate, who's also a New Bern native, we celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary.
Oh,
and thank you. And my son, Gavin, who's actually sitting in the background today, he turned 13 this year, so now we have a teenager in the house.
Oh.
So, a lot of interesting things happening within the Odom household this year.
Big steps, big steps.
Yeah, and how do you have time to run for office?
You know, I talk to my employees all the time about needing to do different things, and sometimes they say, well, I just don't have time to do that. And I'll say, well, don't you have a son or a daughter? Well, yeah. Do they have dance recitals, and do they have ball games? And yeah. Well, do you attend those? Well, sure. So that's because you make time for it. So you make time for the things that you want to make time for. And yeah, I think that's pretty apparent why I'm probably the only candidate sitting here talking to you right now.
All right. That's a good observation. Okay. You served New Bern on the Board of Aldermen. How long were you on the board?
We were sworn into office December the 13th, 2013. So it's been about 9.5 years now. This election that we're in was actually supposed to occur in October of last year. And we had to redraw our ward boundaries based off of population shifts. So we had to wait until the census data became available to us. And of course, that was delayed because of COVID. And the election kept getting pushed out and pushed out. And finally, we had it on May 17th, a couple months ago. And as the results came in, we finished in second place, four votes behind my opponent. And he did not get 50% of the vote. So therefore, I was able to ask for a runoff because there were four total candidates in the race.
Wow. You've been involved in one of the longest campaigns in history, haven't you?
it certainly seems that way. And, the stress is starting to take a toll, especially when your heat index is 110 degrees outside.
I bet it has.
You're at the polls trying to talk and engage with voters. But it's been good. We've got a couple days of early voting left at the time of this recording, obviously. And our election will be Tuesday, July the 26th.
All right. So during your term as Alderman in New Bern, tell us about some of what you consider your significant accomplishments.
Yeah, so back when we were first sworn into office, there were three new aldermen that came on board at the same time. And we sat down and we were doing our introductions with our staff. And our finance director at the time looked at us and said, "Well, welcome to the board. By the way, you're facing a $2.7 million annual recurring shortfall in your general fund." So being a business person, my first foray into politics, I started thinking, well, how in the world are we going to do this? Because we're not raising taxes. We already know that. So we started looking at the operation of the city, and I asked some pretty probing questions, and I got some expressions back from our staff that you could tell they hadn't been asked those kind of questions before. And we dug into our operation and found some efficiencies. We made some adjustments in how we were doing things. Nobody lost a job. We didn't furlough any employees, so it wasn't like a mass layoff in order to make our numbers work. But one interesting thing for those that are familiar with the city of New Bern, all of our vehicles for many years were this charcoal gray color. Mm-hmm. It was just the city color. Well, not all vehicles, when you order them, came available in that color. So I found out that we would order a vehicle, and it may come in white, and we would take it to a body shop and have it painted and pay $3,000 to have a brand new vehicle painted just so all of our vehicles' colors would match. So I'm actually the one that made the motion many years ago that said, from now on, unless it's a fire truck or police vehicle, all of our vehicles are going to be in white, because I'm pretty sure for our lifetime, every manufacturer is going to make a white vehicle. So yep. That's our standard now. And just little things like that. It was basically bringing business principles to government.
And of course, with the new logo, emblems on them, the color makes it pop. So
that's
right. Good job. All right. Any others?
For years and years and years, especially every 4 years during a campaign, we heard about utility rates. Utility rates in the city of New Bern were always astronomical when compared to Duke Energy, for example. And we dug into that as well, and we were able to lower our utility rates 5 times in 4 years. And for any municipal-owned entity where they provide, whether it's electric, water, sewer, to have your rates lowered is virtually unheard of. For that to happen 5 times in 4 years is probably unprecedented. And the good thing about a municipal owner, and I will tell you, my stance has changed on this. I used to, when I got into this, my stance was we need to get out of the electric business. We need to let somebody else manage it. But what we were able to do is we were able to, again, utilize business principles in that particular model and bring our rates. We're now in line with Duke. And the good thing about owning your own utility is when we have hurricanes and storms, we control those folks. We're not dependent on a contractor or somebody else in another city. It's our folks that are getting out there as soon as the weather, breaks, so we can start getting power restored to our customers. And our turnaround time on restoring power is far greater than what it is in the private sector.
And I think the upkeep of the lines is also showing, making sure that the transmission is stable.
Yeah, absolutely.
All
What is our relationship to Duke Energy? Do we have a relationship with them?
We do. So City of New Bern is part of Electricities, which is a co-op. And what happened back in the 80s, a lot of cities recognized that there was going to be an issue getting electricity to customers and citizens. So 32 cities came together and formed this co-op called Electricities all across the state of North Carolina. And what they did, they said, well, let's invest in some power generation plants. So they built a couple plants, and the cost of those plants far exceeded what they were anticipating. So the debt service got shared amongst all of those 32 cities, and that's the reason our rates have been so high for many years, is because we were paying that debt service. And then we made some operational improvements throughout the way, and that allowed us to lower those rates, because Duke actually came to Electricities and said, we need more power generation, and instead of us building a new plant, we would rather just buy them from you, and then we'll take on that asset. So that also helped with us lowering rates one time as well. But now our relationship with Duke is, that's our wholesale. You know, Electricities buys wholesale power from Duke, so they're kind of the middleman, and then we buy it from the co-op. Okay. And that helps us get a better rate as well.
So a big issue that happened recently, this past year, that I think has kind of helped hurt some people who are running for office in the past, is the MOU and the Union Point Park and the total public misunderstanding of that. So I would hate for anyone out there to say, oh, well, he was part of that, and vote for someone new who wasn't part of that. So tell us what, you know, briefly explain through that.
Yeah, so, you know, when you're in government, you're always looking for ways to increase your revenues. And the way my philosophy has always been is, you do that by growing your tax base, not raising your tax rate. New Bern, we have one of the lowest tax rates in the region. If you look at some of our neighboring cities, such as, you know, Greenville or Kinston, their tax rate is much higher than what we have here in the city. And we've been able to maintain that because we've had good growth. Matter of fact, last year was a record year for the city of New Bern in building permits for both residential and commercial growth. But the whole MOU with the developer and the potential of a hotel at Union Point Park was a very detailed plan. There was a lot of conversation that was taking place about what might could happen in that particular parcel. And again, this is the parcel of land at Union Point Park where the restrooms sit, that middle interior place. It has nothing to do with the gazebo or the waterfront along that area. It was just that one parcel. And the developer came in and had made a preliminary proposal that said, hey, we would like to build a hotel on this site. In turn, we would like to invest about $1 million in what would remain as Union Point Park by putting in a very resilient concrete performance stage with some fountains and some lights and some benches to really improve that area. But there was a restriction on that parcel of land that if the city were to develop that or work with a developer to have that parcel developed, we would have to replace that with an equal or of like kind and size amount of property. So there's really not too many areas downtown New Bern that you could consider like and the same. One would be at the end of Broad Street across from the Shriners building on that waterfront parcel. So we were actually having preliminary discussions with the Shriners. If they would sell the city that parcel, then we were actually thinking about creating like a Union Point East and a Union Point West. It would have actually, if the deal would have gone through, the tax rate would, or the tax revenue would have been through the roof for that particular hotel, because it was, I want to say, $30 million. But it would have actually increased what is currently available waterfront and public access to our parks. It would have been greater than what we have right now, even though that hotel would have been built there. And there would have been some growing pains as that went through construction, and I think we all recognize that. But they were affording the opportunity for free public parking inside their parking deck for whatever number of spaces that they would have taken up with the development. And then also the public restrooms.
Downtown parking.
Yeah. And then the restrooms that are open to the public, they were going to open their restrooms inside the hotel open to the public as well. So.
Well, we're glad you explained that to us. We got to take a little break now to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back and continue the conversation with New Bern mayoral candidate Jeffrey Odom.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we're talking to Jeffrey Odom, who is a candidate for New Bern mayor, and we are asking him a little bit about his experience as alderman, and he explained some of his significant accomplishments on the Board of Aldermen. And so now I want to follow up with, what do you see as some of the biggest challenges for City of New Bern?
I think the biggest challenge right now after this election is going to be bringing people together. As you all know, elections have the tendency to be divisive, and this is a nonpartisan race. This is not, when you go in and pull your ballot, there's not an R or D next to anybody's name. However, the parties have gotten involved, and it's turned into a partisan race, which is really unfortunate because at local government level, we don't take up things like Roe v. Wade or, medical cannabis. Those are not things, there's not topics that we handle at the municipal level. We talk about utility rates and parks and recreation and public safety with police and fire. Those are not partisan issues. So when people run on partisan type topics, it creates division within your city that's not really necessary. There's enough division and there's enough politics in everybody's life right now that we don't need any more at the local level. So to me, I think the number one challenge for whoever ends up winning this election is to bring the new board together and find some common ground and start accomplishing things. I'm afraid, because I've seen it in the past, when people step into a position when they may not be very knowledgeable about what's going on, they are sort of from the outside looking in and they think they have better ideas and thoughts, but they don't know the full picture, that learning curve can be pretty long. And this particular term is going to be shortened already because of the election being delayed. So unless the board makes a change, this term is only going to be about 3.5 years. And for me, it takes you about 6 to 12 months to really start gelling as a board and making things happen. So with that being said, it's now shortened that term and that window up even more to get things done. And that's the kind of elected official, I've always tried to be is somebody to get things done. I want somebody to look back and say, you know what, I may not have agreed with him on this particular issue, but you can't say that they didn't accomplish things. Right. And for me, if I'm fortunate enough to become the mayor, I've been sharing a little series on Facebook for the past 10 days now. And I wanted to do this because my opponent is not. And I think when you're in an election, it's your job as a candidate to separate yourself and show the public the choice that they have. There's two different options that you have. You have me, you have my opponent. My opponent has mentioned one idea the entire campaign, and that is to have more community-involved government. What is that? My response is the community can be as involved in city of government as much as they want to be. We have a hard time finding people that want to serve on the planning and zoning and HPC board. So to say you want more community-involved government, sure, that's great, but there's nothing prohibiting people from doing that right now. So I wanted to share some tangible ideas. So for the past 10 days, I've been doing that, and I will continue to do that up until Election Day. And then what I want to do is take all 14 of those ideas, and I want to enumerate them out on a list, and I want to meet with the new board once we get sat and figure out which ones we can all agree on and start a checklist. And in the first 100 days, I want to see how many of those things we can check off, whether or not we actually complete them or we actually just start the process. But we've got some things to look forward to, and there's some benchmarks to say, hey, this board is moving the city forward.
Great, great. Now, you talked about Union Point and how that came about and what the outcome of it was and why. But you didn't tell us about Martin Marietta. You were involved in that, I believe.
I was. At the time, I was the mayor pro tem, which is every year, based off of our charter, the Board of Aldermen has to select a Board of Aldermen member other than the mayor to serve as the mayor pro tem in case the mayor's out of town or can't, you know, carry on in their capacity. That particular year, I was the mayor pro tem. Mayor Outlaw was out of town for some training or a meeting. And he says, you know, we've got a meeting with Martin Marietta that we had all been involved with having that discussion. And he says, I want you to go in and have this meeting in my place. So Martin Marietta at the time was nothing more than some acreage with some lagoons out on Glen Burnie Road between Neuse Boulevard and Hatteras. The city owned the lagoons because it's part of our water treatment reclamation program, but we did not own the land.
For people that don't know, Martin Marietta was a rock quarry.
That's right.
And that's why you had the big lagoons and bodies of water.
So the city owned the water. Martin Marietta still owned the land. Did not know what their plans with that were, if they had any vision or any thoughts. So they came in. There was some senior leadership came in, and we met at City Hall. And we just basically asked them, do you have any plans for this? No, well, not really. And so I said, well, you know, we as a board, we've discussed a regional park, and we think this would be a tremendous opportunity. There's nothing like that, you know, east of 95. And we had some conversation back and forth, and of course, it's very valuable land. They could have easily gone in and developed it and put houses around those lakes and had waterfront property and probably made a lot of money. But we talked to them about the sustainability, how they come into a community, they dig big holes, and then they leave. And I said, this is a good opportunity for you to leave a legacy of something that you can be proud of. And I think they started sort of buying into the vision. And then they said, well, you know, how do you envision us, you know, making this transaction? You know, they were basically saying, how much will you be willing to pay us? And I sort of looked at him and I said, well, we actually don't want to buy it. We want you to give it to us. And, of course, being private sector, P&L responsible individuals, they kind of give us this look like, are you crazy? So, you know, we played off the sustainability aspect and leaving a legacy behind in a community and also the naming rights. I said, look, we'll even name the park after you if you'll consider it. So they took the information. They went away. And a few weeks later, they came back and said, hey, look, we buy into the vision. We like what you said. We will. We will donate the land to the city of New Bern. But there's one stipulation. We do want it named after us, as you offered. But also, if there's any rock or marl that has to be used in the construction of anything you do, it has to come from Mark Marietta. And we're like, sure, no problem. So they donated the land. The value of the land, the raw land, undeveloped, was about $500,000. So what we were able to do is take the value of that land and kind of use that for matching grants. So we went out and got matching grants equivalent to $500,000 in cash that we were able to leverage that donation for. So essentially, the city has $1 million in Martin Marietta Park that the city of New Bern taxpayers haven't put a dime into.
Wow.
And a ton of opportunity there. You know, our end goal is to put an amphitheater there, and it's going to be really, really nice.
Great. Sounds good.
I love that. I love that. It's just, it brought something so needed to this area, and it's such an attraction for families and, you know, new, younger families coming in. I visit it often. I absolutely love the way that that came about. And I just, pointing out, seeing a theme here is you run government like a business. And if we all remember the last time our country was run like a business, we were doing pretty doggone good. So I want to emphasize that because that's, I love that.
Yep. All right, let's continue on. Let's see what you perceive as some of the city's most serious problems that need to be addressed.
Well, fortunately, we've been able to address some of those in the past 8 years or so. And one of that issue would be drainage. The city's in a very low area. We don't have a lot of elevation here. It's flat as a table, as I've heard some people say. So we've got some areas that really needed some attention. We have something like 30 some odd, or might even be 130. All these numbers are running together now in the middle of a campaign in the middle of summer. But we've got miles and miles of ditches in our city. And the maintenance of those ditches obviously is a costly thing to maintain. And what we did several years ago, actually before I got on the board, so it was probably about 10 years ago, they created zones throughout the city, and each month our grounds crew, drainage crew would go to those zones and work on the ditches and keep them, try to keep them cleaned out. But you know, when you have pine trees with pine needles, it's a constant maintenance issue. But what we found is when Hurricane Florence came through in 2018, that was our, you know, worst hurricane that the city has ever experienced. We had record flooding, 11-foot flood storm surge. I mean, it was just devastating for our city. And we were able to go to FEMA and show them that our ditches needed some maintenance because a lot of debris and sediment got captured in those ditches during that massive flooding. So we were awarded something like a $30 million project from FEMA to clean out all of our ditches. And we've been working on that, so that certainly helped. We saw evidence of that when we had some really heavy rains 2 weeks ago. The mayor now and myself went out to look at some of the typical problem areas that we've seen throughout the city, and there was no water standing. And to go in Duffy Field behind Craven Terrace, where there was always water that was standing and ponding, there was no water there.
Wow.
So a lot of these issues have been addressed, and I think that's a big one as far as drainage goes. Again, we talked about utility rates. Now we are on par with Duke. Something that's important that people need to consider, especially when you're going to go vote in this election, is in 2025, our debt service that we owe for those power generation plants are going to be paid for. In 2025, the city of New Bern will have an option on whether we stick with Electricities or we go do something else. And I'll be honest with you, there's probably not a lot of options, because if we went with somebody else, it would be very challenging to do so. So we're most likely going to stay with Electricities, but we're no longer going to have that debt service. So the question for the board sitting in 2025 is, what are you going to do? Are you going to give the customers more relief and a rate reduction, or are you going to keep that money and go grow your grid, or, you know, make capital improvements? I personally think it's probably going to be a balance of the two, because you have to continue to invest in your infrastructure. If not, you know, your power poles are going to fall down. You've got to make sure you're investing.
Not only that, the size of the city has been growing dramatically.
Yeah. And there's another opportunity, too. We supply power to customers all the way in Havelock, but yet we have citizens in the city of New Bern that are on Duke Power. So what I would like to do is have a conversation with Duke, kind of like we did with Martin Marietta. Sit down, put the maps on the table and say, look, we'll trade you this for that. Let's get more of our citizens on the city of New Bern. Now, if I would have said that 8 years ago, I would have been run out of office, because people did not want to be on city of New Bern Electric. But now that we're on par and sometimes even lower than Duke, citizens are more open for that because they've seen how quick we get our customers back online after a storm versus Duke.
All right. And also, it's a good thing we're having this conversation, because a lot of the voters are new to the area and are not familiar with that history. So it's good to get that.
Boy, I'm familiar with hurricanes and being out of power for 3 days we were out of power one time. And you want to talk about miserable right now in July without having power. And now, I mean, our lights barely flicker. Barely flicker. Yeah. It's amazing.
All right. Well, we need to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, our guest today is Jeffrey Odom, candidate for New Bern mayor. And we're learning a little bit about Jeffrey here and why he thinks he would be a good mayor. So, Jeffrey, let me ask you this. What guides your decision-making process when you are faced with making decisions? Where do you turn for guidance?
Well, I think as being a Christian, we all revert back to, you know, that. Clearly, that's the one and only guide is the Bible. My son, we took him out of public school last year and put him in New Bern Christian Academy. And as a product of public school, I didn't frown upon private school, but I always looked at it as, well, it's just, parents trying to shield their children from the real world, and they're eventually going to get it anyway. But I can tell you this, after we went through a year of COVID and the whole remote learning and seeing some of the things taking place within the school system, we felt like that it was the right decision for us. And whenever we did that, we actually started attending New Life Christian Church over on Old Cherry Point Road. And we've been going there for over a year and actually just joined this past Sunday. So obviously, spiritually, you look for guidance that way. But when it comes time to decide whether or not we buy a new fire truck, or invest in new police cars, that's when those business principles kick in. And I ask those questions, you know, what's our return on this investment? I shared an idea earlier in the week about trying to fill a need in our community with some indoor recreational facilities. And it's something that I would love for an entrepreneur or the private sector to step up and say, hey, we're going to do this. But it's been 8.5 years now talking about this and nobody's done it for whatever reason. So, you know, we've looked into it. The first thing we wanted to do was this going to be a profitable venture? And the city's not out to make money. Don't take that wrong. But we're also not in business to start something where the taxpayers have to supplement it either.
Right.
So if we can get to a position where we can offer new amenities that it fills a gap in your community and you're able to do that at a cost neutral standpoint, then I think that's a good opportunity for the city to step up and fill that gap.
Absolutely. Okay, so do you think the Constitution, both state and federal, are still relevant?
100% as it was written.
Okay, so that would also play into your decision-making process,
I guess. Absolutely.
Okay. What kind of relationship do you have with other city officials?
That varies.
As I would expect.
Yeah, it can vary from meeting to meeting. It can vary from topic to topic. I told someone that it was interesting that I remember my first meeting in office back in December of 2013. I made a vote and it was a split vote. And I remember looking in the audience and seeing a lot of smiles. And the next vote was a split vote and I saw a lot of frowns and they were looking at me both times. So I went, you know, that old saying, from a hero to a zero, can happen really quickly. Yeah. But I think that regardless of whether you agree or disagree, you should always have a level of professionalism and respect for each other. And the professionalism is a reflection on you as an individual. You can choose to act professional or you can choose to act unprofessional. As far as the respect, that's earned. And that's also a reflection on how you choose to operate. If an individual on the board that I disagree with acts in a professional manner, they present their case, and at the end of the day, we just simply agree to disagree, I will respect that individual. If someone comes up there and they beat the table and they, you know, flam around and they scream and yell and all emotional and they're not presenting facts or information that's beneficial to the discussion, it's more of a temper tantrum, then I'm probably not going to have a lot of respect for the individual, and it's hard to work with someone when you don't have that level of respect. But that's very rare, to be honest with you. I'll tell you, there's Sabrina Bingles on the board right now. For 4 years, when she went off the board and I was on the board, we disagreed on a lot of things. And the crazy thing is probably we saw eye to eye on the topics. It was just how we got there.
Yeah.
But now, you know, having worked with her, this is just one example, having worked with her for 4 years, I think what happens is your common love for what you're trying to do, and that's making the city of New Bern a better place to live, that comes together and you're able to find common ground and make things happen. Again, doesn't mean you're going to agree right on every topic, but I think what you just have to do is you have to recognize what's the ultimate goal, get everybody to come along with you, and just move forward. And you're going to leave some people behind, but you have to move forward.
How about with county officials? How have you interacted with them?
Again, I think it depends on the topic. This is what I don't understand. Sometimes county and city look at things differently, but the city falls within the county. So if something benefits the city, it's going to benefit the county. I think the only difference is the county has other areas to worry about than just what the city of New Bern represents. So if you have a representative that, you know, is in the Havelock area, if we're talking about something in the city of New Bern, whether it's you know, building our tax base or there's some sort of benefit to the city of New Bern, it's going to benefit the same county residents that are also city of New Bern residents, but it doesn't really affect Havelock. So not only do you have 7 officials on the city of New Bern board that you have to kind of work together and coalesce, then you have to bring in 7 members of the county board. And the majority of those probably don't even cover the city of New Bern. So, but I think as far as, you know, picking up the phone and saying, hey, look, we've got a problem, you know, let's sit down and work this out. We have an open line of communication, and it's probably better now than it has been in a long time, especially between our management, county manager and city manager. They meet on a routine basis. But, you know, another one of my ideas that I threw out is I think that the county manager, city manager, the chairman of the county commissioner board, and the mayor should meet monthly. I think they should sit down, they should, you know, whether it's for coffee or lunch, but they should just sit down, build that relationship. And because, again, there's things that each other's boards will do and make decisions about that's going to affect the other. And I think communication is key with all that.
Good. Well, sometimes when people are looking at candidates, an indicator they look for is what endorsements they have. Have you received any endorsements?
I've received a few. I have received one from the FOP, the Fraternal Order of Police. It's the local chapter that represents the law enforcement in this particular area. And then shortly after that, I received a second endorsement from a law enforcement association, which is the PBA, the Police Benevolent Association. That is the largest law enforcement association in the country. And I was endorsed by them. And then I also yesterday received the endorsement of our local sheriff, Craven County Sheriff Chip Hughes. So to me, I think that is a very strong sign that me being a layperson, no law enforcement experience, I've always supported our men and women in blue and what they do. They put their lives at risk every single day to keep each and every one of us safe. And the fact that I have received the support from all of those entities, I think is a very telling sign, considering that my opponent, as you mentioned in the opening, was 44-year career law enforcement officer, the last 9 years spent as the chief of police right here in New Bern.
Yeah, that speaks volumes.
It does, yeah. Okay, well, this is my last question. So after that, we'll let the other people that have been neglected maybe chime in. But what makes you the best candidate?
I think there's you have to look at the package, the total package. So I'm not saying that just because I'm a New Bern native, I'm more qualified. But I think it certainly gives me a distinct advantage because I have tremendous roots in our city. It's a place that I have chosen willfully to stay throughout my whole life. I've had plenty of opportunities professionally to leave and go somewhere else, but it's where me and my wife chose to raise our son. It's the community that I love, and I've always wanted to give back. And I think that the heart and the passion, you have to have that if you want to be an effective leader. Anybody can just, you know, sit in a particular seat or sign a particular paper saying, hey, I'm the mayor or the ceremonial head of the city. But I think if you're going to be effective, you have to be a working mayor. And that's more than just attending meetings or listening sessions to the community. You actually have to be someone that's involved in actually getting things done. My record speaks for itself. I have, as you mentioned earlier, I've tried on numerous occasions to debate my opponent because I believe that would show the citizens the difference and who's more qualified. However, he's refused to do that. Now I think it's funny because he wants to talk about all the forums and all the stages that we've shared throughout this, but we all know that there's a big difference in a forum versus a debate. Mm-hmm. A forum, when you're sitting around getting standard questions about, you know, what's the biggest challenge facing the city of New Bern, or what's the first thing you would do if you became mayor, that's different than being able to look across the table from your opponent and say, could you tell the public here why your wife can't vote for you because she's not registered in this city, the city that you want to lead and be a mayor of?
Good question.
Why is she not? Why can't she vote?
She's not registered here, so that's all I know.
I've heard things that he's not. He's not a weekend resident. Is that? Have you heard anything about that? Or
I know that I have. In anything I've said throughout this entire campaign, I have documentation to back everything up that I've always said. And I have documentation that shows about 70 times during his tenure, he did what they call an assumption of command, meaning I'm going to be out of town and unavailable, so I'm putting someone else in charge. That was done about 70 times. That doesn't include the weekends where he would leave on Friday afternoon and come back on Monday. And I've gotten beat up for saying these things because people either they know it's the truth and they don't like hearing it, or either they just don't know that it's the truth. But again, I have documentation. I have proof of everything that I've said. The chief was an absentee chief. And there's no other way around that. And I think that's pretty clear. That's why he doesn't have the support of the department that he was supposedly leading for almost a decade.
Well, I'd like to remind our listeners that he did have the opportunity to be here and defend himself. So anyway, we need to take a final break here to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back and wrap this show up.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
How would you like to buy a present, be inspired, and have your spirits lifted? It's easy. Just visit Carolina Creations at 317 Pollock Street in downtown New Bern. You'll find an amazing array of gallery-worthy paintings, one-of-a-kind jewelry, pottery, glassware, greeting cards, personal adornments, and all sorts of temptations. Everything is displayed to please the eye. Prices run the gamut from a few dollars to a few thousand dollars. Many items are by local artists and artisans. Carolina Creations has been voted Best Gallery, Best Gift Shop, and Best Jewelry Store by the Sun Journal's readers. Stop in and see why. The friendly, knowledgeable staff will let you browse to your heart's content or swing into helpful mode if that's needed. You'll enjoy a visit to Carolina Creations. That's a promise.
Welcome back, Coastal Carolina, to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we are interviewing Jeffrey Odom, a mayoral candidate in the city of New Bern. And I pretty much dominated the show up to this point because I had questions I wanted answers to.
Because I let him. Let's be real.
I hope that they answered a lot of questions y'all might have had. Now, Mary?
One of your proposals that I saw on Facebook, or one of your ideas, had to do with using the old Harris Teeter building over off MLK, or Glen Burnie, really. Could you comment on that a little bit?
Yeah, so when I ran for office back in 2013, I kept hearing something that was very common, and it was, there's not a lot of restaurants, there's not a lot of places to shop, and there's not a lot of things for kids to do. So, you know, from a restaurant standpoint, we've had several new restaurants that's opened in the past 8 years or so. The Harris Teeter, the vacant parcel that you're talking about, the vacant building, is vacant because we had a new Harris Teeter shopping center that came in. And there was
the largest one in the world.
The largest one in the world,
yes.
That is. So it's an experience, not just a grocery store. But
yes.
I think what happened there was a lot of momentum, a lot of excitement. And then, of course, you know, the hurricane came through. And we've, you know, got inflation, with issues trying to find people to man stores now. So there was several out parcels that I think we were probably going to see at least two restaurants that were coming, but that kind of got sidetracked. But we're trying to get that back on the rails again. But, you know, we've got this vacant old Harris Teeter shopping center, and it's a nice location. It's very convenient. It's big. It's got plenty of parking. And when I continue to hear things about not having opportunities for our youth, sure, we've got basketball courts, we've got outdoor soccer fields, but, you know, my son, again, being 13 years old, you know, he loves to go to Greenville or Jacksonville or Wilmington and go to a trampoline park or, you know, somewhere, a bowling alley even. But I just think that there's an opportunity. Again, I'm a small government kind of person, but I also recognize there's opportunities when the private sector doesn't do something, the government has to step up and fill the gap. And I would have never been advocating for this had we not turned our aquatic center around. The city had a pool that they built, you know, several years ago, and it lost money every year. Well, our new city manager, who was promoted from the Parks and Recreation Director position, came in, got some good people on board that specialized in that. They fixed some things as far as how we operated the pool. And the pool has actually been in the black now for the past couple of years. It was something that I was willing to give to somebody. Hey, you know, YMCA, here's a pool. Come take it. It's yours. But now that we're to a point where we've got an amenity that we're able to offer to the public and it doesn't cost the taxpayer any money, I would like to explore, is there an opportunity for us to do that at the Harris Teeter, the old Harris Teeter Shopping Center, and put a empty building to good use and again fill that gap? And I think there's some things, you know, trampoline park's been mentioned, you know, rock climbing, an indoor soccer opportunity, because, you know, batting cages, there's just different things that we don't have in our community. And soccer is a pretty big sport around Craven County, and of course we're all dependent on the weather, and we all know in the Eastern Carolina, you never know what that weather may be. So if we had a couple of indoor soccer fields, multi-purpose fields that could be used for soccer, then, you know, we could continue to have games even when there's inclement weather outside. So again, it's and I always make this caveat that the mayor just has one vote. It takes three more to go along with you. So I could have what I would view as the greatest idea in the world, but if I can't get three more people to agree with me, it wouldn't happen anyway. But I do think there's some validity in looking into that opportunity and see what we can offer.
Well, I recommend you use the same strategy you used for Martin Marietta.
Yeah.
Harris Teeter ought to give it to you.
Yeah.
That would be nice. Absolutely.
And they ought to fund it. So just think of the PR for them. That would be amazing. So, being myself born and raised in New Bern, and I think we all kind of go through that. You probably relate to this, that we have a great childhood and then all of a sudden we hit 13 or so and it's like you can't wait to get out of this town. It sucks because there's nothing to do. And then as young adults, it's the greatest place, right? We just love it. We want to raise our kids here. And as we get older, we appreciate our community so much more. And we love, like, it's a deep felt love that we have for this. And when you say that, you know, that you have the homegrown advantage, it's kind of, I see it like when you go to do something, you know, to build your house, you're going to put every bit of special attention into building this house for your family. Right. And if it's in a different city and it's not something you're ever going to be involved in, you're going to do the basic, right? So when you have that homegrown love for these neighbors that you grew up with, that you have these connections with, that you're making decisions for your neighbors, your friends that hold you to account for that because they know you personally, and they know your mama and your daddy and your cousin and your Uncle Bob. So, you know, it is a huge advantage to me. We see things happening. I mean, good Lord, it's changed. Jeffrey and I are about the same age, and New Bern has changed in the past 20 years more than you could imagine. And there are some things that not everyone is happy about. We love what downtown New Bern has become. We love the expansion of, you know, going down MLK and into all of that area, the new restaurants, the new shopping places, all of that stuff we love. A lot of people don't so much love so many bars, and which we need bars. I get it. That's okay. I'm not against that. But are we going to push more towards that nightlife kind of thing? Is it, I mean, tell me your thoughts on that, Jeffrey.
I think it's interesting you bring this up. I was just sitting on the park bench downtown at the polling place with a voter who was undecided, and he had some questions, and this was one of them. He lives downtown, and he says, you know, I don't want, you know, downtown to become New Orleans.
Right.
So it goes back to everything. It's all about balance. And I think if you had, you know, Restaurant Row, where every building on Middle Street was a restaurant or a bar, it's not healthy. You need a good balance. And because, you know, some people go downtown to shop and they happen to eat while they're downtown. A lot of people go downtown to eat and they happen to shop when they're downtown. If you just had one or the other, you're going to lose half of those that constituency. And I think it's important to have a good balance. And I also recognize that even though we, a subsegment of the population, don't want to see but so many of one or the other, it's kind of the free market that determines that. The city can't really go in and say, well, on this particular block of Middle Street, we're only going to allow five restaurants. So some people actually want that to happen, believe it or not. But I think it's, you know, let free market decide, but also trying to create a open opportunity for a good business climate. And if you have an open opportunity for people to invest, then they're going to do the right thing. Nobody's going to go put a bar in the middle of three more bars because it's probably not going to survive.
Mm-hmm.
But if they want to go there and put, you know, a toy store or something else, then it probably would. It's something that complements each other versus competing against each other, mm-hmm. I think is important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look at downtown, and we're transplants from New England, and we tell a lot of people that, you know, if you come to New Bern and you're bored, it's your fault, not the city's fault, because we've done an awful lot to present things, whether it's the two theater groups, whether it's the History Center, whether it's all of these other things that are, and Union Point Park, don't want to minimize that. Just all of these things that are available to us, and especially if you're bringing friends down or whatever else, it is a wonderful city to visit, and we need to keep it growing that way. And again, as you said, a balanced city.
Yeah.
Well, Jeffrey, I want to thank you for spending time with us and answering our questions, and we do appreciate that, and we wish you the best of luck in your campaign. And I want to tell folks that CCTA Wake Up Call airs on Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. That may be a little early for you, but it also airs again at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning and 8 p.m. on Sunday evenings, and it is also archived on our website at cctaxpayers.com. So you can go there and listen to it anytime you want to, and also you can share that with anybody anywhere in the world, because it is the World Wide Web, and we do have visitors to our website from all over the world. So thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll come back and join us again next week for CCTA Wake Up Call. And don't forget to get out this Tuesday and vote.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.